your films are very much based on your personal experience.
Mm. Yeah, I always find that if I don't start somewhere that's very personal, that I, in a way, I'm not the best person to tell that story. So that doesn't mean my films are particularly autobiographical. I have made some films that are, but this one would not be the case. That said, I moved to a corner of Brooklyn in 1988 where I was the white college kid coming from a different class into a neighborhood that was primarily working class Italian. My street was actually quite Dominican, and I saw within 4 or 5 years everything changed. So all the Dominican shops were gone within that amount of time. And I thought often about just sort of that arrival of these different stories, these different communities, these different possibilities at the same time on one corner of one city. And I tried to bring that experience to the movie. The film is also about two boys who become best friends across different communities. And that's certainly my experience and what I knew having grown up in the South. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and my best friend was the only one of two black kids in my school. His father actually ran Stax Records, so was an upper middle class black kid. And we separated at a certain point, really because of our parents making choices about where they were going to move and locations and stuff like that. But remembering the freedom of that time as a kid, your ability to cross difference, it's a really beautiful thing. And I think these two actors in the film really capture that. There is a reflective experience for the audience that I hope I create in all my films. All of them end with a certain kind of open narrative. You don't know where exactly things are going to lead. And for me, what that is I hope to lead the film back to the audience, and they take it back and they contemplate it in their own very personal way. So in a way, by making personal work that somehow reveals the things that I feel like I know most deeply, there's an intimacy that I try to create with my audience so that they too feel their own lives through the story.
In terms of the way that your films are manifest, you don't hit people over the head with messages. I mean, you do the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. Well, I think as a writer, I always, and as a director, I'm always like, as soon as you point something out or underline it, it becomes less interesting. It becomes less resonant. There's less ambiguity. So I always try to sort of take the things out that maybe would tell you too much and point you too directly. I often think my films are made up of a series of middles. There's not necessarily a beginning and end to every scene. You're dropped in and you have to find your way. And when the film works, I think by the end you feel really close to the characters in the story.
How do you manage to do that? Like, I imagine that you might know, okay, I need to show something. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to show this that might still be even ambiguous in your own mind. I mean, some of our feelings we can't quite define. I want to show this. How do you make decisions as an artist?
I always think that your job is to create clarity. Like, I try not to be dense or hard to understand. There is a sense that you're not, that you need to give the information, which creates a full world. And part of the craft of telling the story is figuring out how much is enough and how much is too much. And so you're doing, it's a process of refinement. And I think that for me is really what happens a lot in the editing stage, is what kind of information make it so that the audience don't have to ask questions of confusion, but other more kind of personal questions are the ones that they can ask. So it's craft, I would say. It's trusting associative kind of instincts, believing that one thing will speak to another in a certain way in terms of a scene or an image or a line. So instinct, I guess.
Yeah. And that's something you can't really quantify or explain entirely. It's just it feels right. It smells right.
But sometimes I call it math in a certain way. It isn't math, but sometimes you realize that 1 + 1 in a film doesn't equal 2. It actually equals 1.5. And you try to figure out, by adding something, are you actually taking something away? I also think of the real estate in a film. What how much space a certain story can contain that makes it feel full but doesn't take over the film. So, for example, in this movie, there used to be more of Greg Kinnear. He plays an actor in the film, and there used to be more of his kind of his separate life away from the family. And we saw him with an agent, and we saw him in an audition, and that was too much. It imbalanced the story, which was actually really focused on the family and on these kids and those relationships. So that kind of thing goes away at some point.
But sometimes you have to go through that process of having all that in there before you can start taking, you know, like you go through the whole thing and then start.
That's the painful part. Not painful because I never get too attached to anything in my it's not like, oh my God, I shot that, it's so significant. It's more that you're trying to figure out what is enough and what gives the film, again, that word for me is clarity.
I read somewhere that you said yourself that you try to show a lot of empathy for all of your characters. Oh. Now, I'm assuming, I assume that you grew up, based on the little bits I know about your life, that you grew up well off, pretty well off.
Yeah, we were upper middle class family growing up in a kind of suburban Memphis, Tennessee.
Like, what kind of insight do you have into people who are living in poverty?
Hmm. Well, I've actually, except for one character in my first film, The Delta, which was an African-American Vietnamese immigrant who was also gay and illiterate. Many things in a way, challenges, and he was definitely living in poverty. Besides that, it's not. I don't have a lot of characters who represent that experience in my films because there is a distance of in a way, it's a distance of the specifics. I will say right now I'm working on a TV series, an idea that's set in a neighborhood of Brooklyn that's in transition, and it's set in a school. And there will be all types of people. And I've been trying to figure out, can I write those stories without research? Can I write the stories of what it is to be a poor black person in New York City in 2016 without? And the answer is yes and no. I need to do some homework. And I can bring my experience of being human and have once having been a kid.
Well, there's that, because in terms of like the kid world, the economics are still there, you know. The economic separations are still there, but they're a little blurrier as kids.
Yeah, and I think in Little Men, I think it's really one of the pleasures of the film for the audience is there's children. I think of my kids and their faces. They can laugh and they can smile in really different ways than most adults. There's a potential for joy. That is specific in childhood. Not that there isn't for adults also, but it's a different kind of joy. It's more cloudy, I think, in adults. And I think one of the things I wanted to capture in the film is that joy of being young. There's a lot of scenes in the film which use both kind of the music and the image. Specifically, there's scenes of these kids skating through Brooklyn that I think try to convey that passionate pleasure of being young.
This TV series, what's it called?
I don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
It's way, you know, I haven't even figured out how to approach certain parts of it, as I said. So it's in the early works.
Now, you are an independent filmmaker.
Yes, I am an independent filmmaker.
And is this TV series an independent project, or has someone asked you to do it? Or?
Well, it's actually one of several television things that I'm working on now, which is a new experience for me. And I call it, it's a new experiment for me, because I have worked, particularly the last three films I've made have been really, I've been in control of both the financing, getting the money for the film, and then in a way I have had complete creative control. As soon as you start working for someone else, things shift. I think often when I'm considering Little Men, that in a way you could think of the shop in Little Men, which is having a hard time. It's run by a woman who makes her own clothes. She's an artisan, and in a way it doesn't work. And I think in some ways I think that it serves as a metaphor for independent film and independent art creation in a certain way. Is there value if it doesn't work economically? And I say yes.
Heck yeah.
But I think as a filmmaker who's spending a lot of, you can't make films too cheaply. The money, you know, you have to sort of be aware of the economic issues. And I think for me, that goes hand in hand with the stories in my films, that economics can't, you can't pretend they don't exist. They really drive so many of our decisions.
In terms of filmmaking, do you have another film on the...
I've just finished writing a film, actually for HBO, with my co-writer, Mauricio, about Montgomery Clift, the actor who was a huge star in America in the 1940s, was the precursor of kind of the modern male actor. He was a hero of both James Dean and Marlon Brando. His story is a complicated one. He was extraordinarily ambitious and creatively. He was brilliant and he was new in terms of the style of acting. He ended up dying quite young at 45 in the 60s. So for me, the kind of conflict between that drive and those internal struggles, he was also a drug addict and an alcoholic, and all those things make for an interesting story.
So it's a biography?
It's a biopic. So it covers from 13 to his death at 46, 45.
Wow. Well, is that different than what you normally are doing?
You know, I've found a way in which it doesn't feel as different. It is to some extent because it's a larger kind of platform and canvas, I guess. There's a lot of, it's a big film and it's a period film. And yet he is a gay man who's an artist who lived all his life in New York City, who's trying to figure out how to balance his opportunities with his desires, as well as the things that are really eating him up. That's all stuff I can relate to.
Is that what drew you to him?
Well, I was approached by HBO. And so I was interested as soon as the question was asked, which isn't always true. I mean, I feel like it's not like I sort of turned down that kind of work. I just don't ever think that I would likely get a job like that and do a good job. And so this idea, I felt like, I know how to. And then I spent probably 6 months researching and getting to find my own way into the story. Actually, biopics are fiction. You know, they're forms of fiction. Eventually, you just have to find the story you're telling through some of the details or the imagined details of a person's life.
Sure. For folks who are interested in becoming a filmmaker, they always like to know how a filmmaker got started.
For me, I started as a theater director from high school. And then throughout college, I directed a lot of plays. Eventually, I was just more interested in spending time in the cinema than in theaters, and I really just felt such a deep connection to movie making. I also found that I was able to make more personal work. I applied to film school when I was a senior in college, and I didn't get in. And I was upset, but in many ways it turned out to be a gift for me because I just proceeded on my own as an artist. I sort of felt that there was a community in New York City where I moved of people making things that were very personal, and I just started to make movies without ever having taken a class. And I guess the thing that I would say to young filmmakers, and I do say because I teach sometimes in the graduate department at NYU, and what I'm really have found for myself is that it's not just a kind of cliche to say tell the stories that you know. I think that in a way it's literally, particularly if you're making independent films and art films, it's what you have to offer. Your familiarity, your knowledge with your own experience, your own community, your parents, your friends, the neighborhood you grew up in, all of that is really the thing that's most valuable that you have to offer. And I find that the successful students of mine, they come back to that. They might think they need to make movies that look like other people's movies, but when they actually start getting noticed is when they make movies that look like themselves.
And not going to film school may have protected you from falling into that trap for any amount of time.
Well, at film school, I always encourage my students not to take their teachers seriously. I mean, to assume that their teachers know nothing. Don't give the teacher the kind of authority to tell them what is right or wrong or how the story was built. To find those things more instinctually seems to me very important as an artist.